this, they sing about the glories of the Lord, Thava Kathamrtam Tapta Jivanam. It means, the nectar of Krishna's words and transcendental pastimes are life and soul for those who are suffering in this material world. And these pastimes are narrated by the great sages, and they are able to eradicate all anarthas within one's own heart and bestow all good fortune upon oneself. And they are the only thing worth hearing, and by reciting one's Krishna's glories, whoever recites such glories are truly munificent, actually speaking. So therefore, such are the glories of the Lord, which are sung again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures. And time and again we see that Krishna is established as a Supreme Personality of Godhead without none, any second one. So again, in this chapter, again the same fact has been established, that Krishna is the only one who can award liberation to his devotees. Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu eva na samshayah. That means only Vishnu can award liberation to his devotees, not any other demigods, including Lord Shiva or Brahma. Also it is said, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Arasabha Bhritya. Only Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he is a controller, supreme controller. Everyone else is simply a servant of him. So in this chapter, we see that Parikshit Maharaj is asking questions. And I think already it is the sixth day that he has completed 5.5 days. Now he is still asking questions for others' benefit. That means he already knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no use of worshipping any other demigods. But still, for people in general, he is asking this question, that how is it that the worshipper of Shiva, they enjoy a lot of material opulences, whereas worshippers of Krishna, they are not so very wealthy. They suffer a lot instead. This was the question put forth by Parikshit Maharaj. And in answer to this question, Shukadev Goswami is quoting the incident which happened after the Ashwamedha sacrifice conducted by Yudhishthira Maharaj, wherein he asked the question, why is it that we had to suffer, although you were our Supreme Master and Lord? And in return, Krishna says this famous verse, that Harishe Taddhanam Shanai, that I take away all the wealth of those who are sincere in my devotion. So therefore, what is the real wealth? Again, it is established, Premadhana Vina Vyartha Daridra Jivan Dasakuri Vetan More Deha Premadhana. Advaita Acharya is praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is saying that, give me love of God, which is like a Premadhana, the supreme wealth, wealth of love of Godhead, and without which our life is useless, Daridra Jivana. It has no meaning at all. And make me as your servant, Dasa Kuri, Dehamore, Vetanamore. He is asking for a salary. And generally we think that no, we have to serve the Supreme Lord without any aspirations in return, without any benediction, without any ulterior motives. But here, Advaita Acharya is saying that give me wealth, give me salary. And here we are all trying to serve Supreme Lord, their Lordship Shishrada Upanath. We don't ask for any salary, do we? We don't. But here, Advaita Acharya is asking that give me salary. And what is that salary? That's not salary of some currency, whether it is new note or old note, or in case any check payment. He's not asking for such mundane payment. He's asking for the real wealth, the wealth of Premadhana. It is also called Dhana, the wealth, but that is Premadhana. and one is supposed to get that premadhana in return to service to Krishna. And when we ask for such salary, it's not a problem, because our Advaita Acharya himself is our ideal character who is asking for such salary in return. Therefore, Lord Jesus said, store your wealth in the spiritual world where there are no burglars and thieves, or there are no any such insects will bite your currency. Whereas in this material world, when somebody stores one's wealth, there is a chance of, you know, getting stolen, or in these days there is demonetization, you know, there are so many problems when one store the wealth in this material world. Therefore, it is advised by all the great soul to earn the wealth in the spiritual world, because there it is going to be eternally with us. And nobody will, you know, dare to steal it or harm in any way. So therefore, the real wealth is the devotional service to Krishna. All other wealths may not be, you know, very helpful in wrong run. So here we see that Shukadeva Goswami, he is making philosophical point in the beginning, and then he gives some narration, some stories to understand that philosophical point. So in the ninth canto also he does the same thing. There is a question of partiality of Lord Krishna towards his devotees, isn't it? So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami quotes this, how Krishna is partial to his devotees because they are his devotees, because they love him so much. And to exemplify this fact, he narrated the story of Shishupala. How Shishupala was so envious, though therefore he was dealt with like that. And again, even Hiranyakashipu follows this suit, in the sense that even Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to sober up his relatives, the wives of Hiranyaksha and others, who were very much aggrieved with the death of Hiranyaksha. So therefore, he first spoke philosophy, that you are not the body or the spirit soul, this and this and that. Although he himself was a demon, he cared for his body the most, but he was speaking philosophy just to sober them up. And to make it a point, so he narrated the story of Suyajna, how Suyajna in this story he speaks that how Suyajna was a king and he died, and that story continues like that. So therefore, it is a common practice amongst philosophers to make a philosophical point, and to establish that philosophical point, then there is a narration of stories. So similarly here, in this case, we hear the story of Rukasura being narrated by Shukadeva Goswami. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that kama istaiste irta jnana prapadyantya anya devata tam tam niyamamasthaya prakritya niyatasvaya, that kama istaiste irta jnana, those intelligence, those people's intelligence which has been stolen by the Maya, they worship lower demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma. And they follow particular rules and regulations, whether it is austere or simple. And then they get their benedictions. So this is Hritajnana, that means those intelligence has been stolen. Only such people will worship demigods, others will not. And demigods are very, very ungrateful. Here in this case we are saying that how Rukasura, he took so much of benedictions from his own Lord, and then he is again trying to kill him. What kind of a demonic mentality? So therefore, they are called as demons. They don't have the gratefulness. So therefore, when Niti Sutra, it says that Kaka Krishna, Pika Krishna, Kaka Pika Ko Bheda, वसंत काले समय काका काका पिका पिका, दैट मीन्स काका इज क्रो, क्रो इज ब्लैक, काका कृष्ण, कृष्ण मीन्स हियर इट इज ब्लैक, एंड पिका ऑल्सो इज कृष्ण, दैट इज ऑल्सो ब्लू, दैट इज कोयल, दैट इज कुकू बर्ड, बोथ कुकू एंड क्रो बोथ आर ब्लैक इन कलर. बट वॉट इज द डिफरेंस? द डिफरेंस इज ओनली नोन वेन देर इज वसंत काल, स्प्रिंग टाइम. वेन देर इज स्प्रिंग टाइम देन वी कैन इजिली अंडरस्टैंड हू इज हू इज हू, बिकॉज वेन देर इज स्प्रिंग टाइम देन द कुकू विल सिंग ब्यूटिफुली एंड द क्रोज दे सिंग एनी वे, वेदर इट इज वसंत काल और एनी अदर काल, सो देर इज नो प्रॉब्लम फॉर देम. So here Vasantakala has come for this Rukasura, that now he has to show his gratefulness, but he is not doing that. Instead he wants to enjoy Mother Parvati at the cost of killing Lord Shiva. Is it not? What kind of a demonic mentality? And therefore you see that there are so many demons, all these big, big demons, whether it is Kamsa, Hiranyakishipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Dantavakra, Shishupal, Putana, all these great, great demons, they will always worship Shiva or Lord Brahma, knowing them that they are the supreme. They worship them. They get their benedictions. As soon as they get their benedictions, they become so arrogant that they go to the extent of killing their own, no, those who have benedicted them. So therefore, we see this is the kind of devotees of these great demigods. All these, there is a list of so many people, demons. But whereas, you know, Krishna worshippers, whether it is Dhruva, whether it is Prahlad, whether it is Pandavas, whether it is Ambarish Maharaj, you take any devotees, whether it is gopis also, innumerable devotees, they render service to their Lord, but in return, at the most, you know, here our Advaita Acharya is asking for some premadhana. What is that premadhana? Again, he is asking for more service. Premadhana is not that he is kind of a wealth, I will get it and I will preserve it. No. It is another, he is asking for more and more service. That is premadhana. What is premadhana? It is not some commodity which I will keep it in my locker. It is service to the Lord himself. That's all. And that kind of, this is the, you know, quality of devotees. They want more and more and more service in return for serving their Lord. This is the mentality of a devotee. So therefore, at least when we hear such stories, we should know that one who worships these demigods, you know, they might become one of their associates. I mean, these demons' associates. All these demons, and they are killed by Krishna, because they go against Krishna's will, and they will be killed by Krishna, and Krishna is the one who awards them liberation. Here they worked hard and slogged and like anything throughout their lives to get some material wealth, and with that material wealth they go against Supreme Lord, and here again he kills them, and in return what he does, he gives them liberation, which even whether it is Brahma or Shiva, they cannot also award liberation. They can only give some material benedictions which are of no use. So therefore ultimately it is again established that Supreme Lord is Krishna only, and worship of Krishna is the only thing to be done, because there is nothing valuable in this world other than worship of Lord Krishna. And in return, Krishna reciprocates, not officially, but with one's own heart, with his devotees. Therefore, in 9th canto, it is said, Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu personally saying that, Aham bhakta paradhino, hi asantra ivadvija, sadhuvir grasta iradayo, bhakta irbhakta janapriya. These are Supreme Lord's own words. He is saying that I am completely under the capture of my devotees, under their capture. I am not at all independent. Because my devotees, they are there in, I am there in the, my devotee's heart and they are in my hearts. So because their hearts is very, are very clean, therefore I reside in their heart. And what to speak of my devotees, even my devotees' devotees are very dear to me. It is one thing to become devotee of the Lord, which is not so easy, but we can become a devotee of the Lord, which is not so difficult. And here Krishna is giving assurance, it's better, you know, even if you can't become my pure devotee, better you serve my devotee. Even by doing that, you'll be pleasing me so much. And this is how Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, and devotees also reciprocate with them. Whereas demigods, they cannot do this. The worshippers also like that. They have no indebtedness. And in return, what these demigods can do to their worshippers, they can hardly give them material benediction, which are of ultimately no value. And liberation is out of question. Liberation is out of question. So therefore, time and again it is established that demigod worship is not for, not at all a good proposal. So here we see that Narad Muni has two different approaches. And in the translation we read that how Rukasura, he was walking on the streets and he met with Narad Muni and he asked for to whom to worship. I want quick results. So therefore, you know, he immediately, okay, go to Shiva, he is Ashutosh, he becomes very quickly pleased. So go and worship him. And he went and worshipped him. Whereas he also indicated to Dhruva that better you worship Lord Vishnu. So he knows whom to tell what exactly. That if person like Rukasura, anyway, he is drenched in mode of ignorance, even if you tell him to worship Lord Vishnu, which is the ultimate goal of life, you would have told him, okay, go and worship Vishnu. He didn't do that, knowing well that he can't do it. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udharati tivrena bhakti yogena ajita parasampara. So, the best mode of worship is to worship Lord Vishnu, but one has to see that whether he is qualified or not. If one is in mode of ignorance, then even if he attempts, he may not succeed. Also, it is a pastimes of the Lord. Narad Muni is helping in the pastimes of the Lord. So therefore, he is telling Rukasura that he worship Shiva instead. And we see that in this today's verse, that Lord Shiva, he gave benedictions to Rukasura and Ravana, and in return what happened? He got into trouble. He was troubled like anything. We see that. So, therefore it is noteworthy that one should understand one's own capacity before he gives any shelter or showing compassion to others. If one is not capable of showing compassion, and if he doesn't have that quality of dealing with that later, so better he should not. Therefore, Shiva himself is showing by his own example. He gave benediction without realizing that something might come in the future. And sure enough, now he is landing into trouble. Is it not? So therefore, it is one thing to show compassion and shelter to others, but at the same time, one should understand that whether it is, am I really qualified to give that compassion? Am I really qualified to give that shelter to someone? So therefore, it is very much important to know that our own capacity in the beginning. Then one can go ahead. Here we see in case of Lord Shiva that he gave so many wonderful benedictions, but in return what happened? The demon they were, they showed their colors in at time like this. So therefore, one should not get carried away by such followers who flatter them and worship them to get anything. But in return, you know, the one who is worshipped, he may get into trouble. and Shiva personally is showing by his own example. So therefore, it is said that one should give shelter or show compassion to others by seeing one's own capacity. And compassion should be accompanied by practicality. That is very important. And Govind Prabhu writes in his one of his books that how it is important that they should be accompanying each other, compassion as well as practicality. So Lord Rama had practicality in his book, he writes. Therefore, he in his compassion, he showed his practicality that when Bibhishana wanted to surrender to Lord Ram accepted him. Though there were so many people, Sugriva, Angada, Neela, Nala, everybody was, you know, Jambavan. Except for Hanuman, everybody was very much terrified whether him to accept such a person like Vibhishan or not. Because he anyway is brother of Ravana, so he might harm the entire army of Lord Ram and Ram himself. So therefore they were very much not at all happy with accepting Vibhishana in their camp. So therefore they had so much concern. Therefore they also told Lord Ram, better you once again think about this. How can you accept him? You cannot, because he is coming from the opposite camp, enemy's camp. But because Lord is Supreme Lord, I mean Rama is Supreme Personality of Godhead, so he could deal with the situation even if there was something wrong. He had practicality, that means he could practically withstand any such oppositions which might come in the future. But in any way he showed compassion and he accepted him. And in fact he tells all the Sugriva and others that, do you think that I'll be fooled like that? I can diminish the entire world with my, with my one eyebrow, with moving of my eyebrow or with my any such gesture, I can control the entire material existence, not only control, but I can finish it off. And what to speak of Vibhishan. So therefore, Lord Ram had that capacity. So therefore, he took compassion upon Vibhishana. So therefore, only a personality like Rama could do that. So therefore, we should not copy such personalities. Whereas in Krishna's case also, he had compassion in his practicality. It was Kurukshetra war, that first of all he wanted to make peace. He went as a peacemaker, but all his attempts were failed. Then war broke out. Then Krishna wanted to give some credit to Karna at this point of time, because Karna said, I will never fight until Bhishma is present. Until he is alive, I will never fight. So then Krishna said, okay, come on, fight for Pandavas now. No problem. Whether you are this side or that, because you are a Kshatriya, you want to fight. You fight for Pandavas now. What is the problem? But he lost the golden opportunity. He denied the Krishna's wonderful advice. Because Lord Krishna wanted to, get something good out of Karna. So that is Krishna's beauty, that he wants to get something wonderful out of any person. So he gave this wonderful opportunity, but fool he was, he could not accept it and he rejected it. And later on he was killed and everyone was killed. At least if he would have accepted this proposal of Lord Krishna, he would have gained that one good merit in his character, but he did not. So therefore, Krishna, he had that compassion, but with practicality. That means, he showed compassion, but he was also practical. So therefore, whether one shows compassion like Lord Rama, or one shows practicality like Lord Krishna, but underlining principle is that one should know one's own capacity, one's own limits. In both the cases, they were Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they dealt with the problem without any complications. Whereas one cannot do the same thing, and here we see the example of Lord Shiva, who is in great difficulty because he has given such benedictions and therefore they have become inimical toward him, Ram. So therefore there is no wonder why Kunti Maharani prays like that. Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Peer. Janma, the good birth, Aishwarya, the opulence, which is in this case, Shruta, the high learning, and Shri, and one's own beauty. They are great cause of impediment in one's own devotional service. So therefore, people, they ask, why Krishna doesn't respond to our call? And in fact, other day I was watching one video which was taken right in our Vrindavan forest here. The son of our Sri Sachinandan Prabhu, I believe, that one who stays below there. His daughter has been, you know, shot. And there is a mobile cap, and that girl is, you know, trying to catch that mobile. And father comes and takes it away. And that girl is, you know, wondering, where is my mobile? Why my father is not reciprocating with me? And it was sure that, you know, be careful with your children. You should not hand over such gadgets because they are not very safe. They are very harmful, like that. The message was ultimately that, okay, we might ask something, oh, my dear Lord, why don't you give me this? Why don't you give me that? But Krishna knows better. He just takes it away. No, it's not good for you. You will not understand. How the child will understand that mobile or any such gadgets are not good for her? She will not. She doesn't have the brain to understand. Similarly, a devotee, he may pray, but there is no guarantee that Krishna will fulfill. Of course, he fulfills it if it is promoting to a devotional service, which is not creating any hindrance. In such cases, he might answer our questions, answer our prayers, but not every time. When our prayers are answered, it is well and good, no problem. That means Krishna is giving us opportunity to, you know, go ahead in our devotional service. But if it doesn't, as in case of this child, which her father, he could not give her that gadget, then one should understand that, okay, maybe it is not good for me. Therefore, my benedictions are not given to me. So no problem. One can go ahead with one's own devotional service. So therefore, actually Shiva is non-different than Vishnu in one sense, because Brahma Samhita says that Kshiram dati vikara visheshya yoga sanjayate nahitata pratagasti hetu. That means there is no difference between, much difference between Vishnu and Shiva. Vishnu is like milk and Shiva is like curd. The curd comes from milk, no? Is it not? So that means they are of the same category, but still there is a difference. Vikara, that is the transformation has taken place. That Vishnu personally takes incarnation as Lord Shiva to, you know, run the affairs of this material world and to give such benedictions and somehow or other promote them to face Krishna and get ultimately liberated. Is it not? So, Lord Vishnu personally takes form of Lord Shiva as a demigod to bestow such benedictions. And Shiva awards, actually Shiva likes to award supreme bhakti and pure bhakti to his followers, but they are not qualified. They are not qualified. So therefore he might give them whatever they want. So that doesn't mean that, oh no, only Shiva has only this much. Shiva can give more than that. Therefore in our Purandar Das, one of the Vaishnava saints in South India, he says that Rama Mantra Japiso, Manuja Rama Mantra Japiso, Amantra Imantra Japisi Kedalubeda, Soma Shekhar Tanna Bhamegeheli Mantra, Rama Mantra Japiso. He says in Kannada that better chant the name of Lord Ram, Rama Mantra Japiso, don't get, you know, fooled by chanting this mantra, that mantra. Don't do that. He is advising. Amantra, e mantra, japisi kadolo beda. That means, don't chant this mantra, that mantra and get, you know, fooled by that. Somashekhara tanna bhame ghar. Somashekhara means Lord Shiva. What does Lord Shiva does? He does, he chants himself Lord Rama's name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram. He chants himself and also is instructing his consort, Mother Parvati, to chant the same names. So therefore, if he chanting Lord Ram's name, if he chanting Lord Krishna's name, then he would certainly would instruct his followers also to do the same thing. But if one is not qualified, then he will not. But the best thing he has in his position is the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rama. So therefore, Shiva can give Krishna Bhakti. And it is true in devotees' case that we have many devotees who are now becoming, who have now become devotees of the Lord here in our temple. But previously they were devotees of Babalnathji here. They used to go to Babalnath temple very nearby. They used to worship. And there are such examples that they asked Babalnathji, Babalnathji, you have given me everything. Now you give me what you like the most. What you think the very valuable. And then in return they were sent to this temple. They met with devotees, they came here and they dedicated their lives. It's true in many devotees. It is true in my case also. Not only my case, my entire family. We are worshippers of Lord Shiva. And ultimately, you know, we are given this wonderful service to Lord Krishna. So therefore, actually if one is sincere, then Lord Shiva might give devotional service also. Because that's what he wants to do. So therefore, we see that, you know, it is strategically positioned, their position. Here is Lord, and next to our temple is our Babalnathji. And this is Gopinathji here. Lord Babalnath wants to give Gopinath. That means service to Gopinath. But many may not be qualified. Then there is another Shambhunath next to our temple. And for those who do not understand this, Shambhunath is nearby one pawn shop. So where, you know, people come from, you know, Pune or other places, Nasik, driving 3-4 hour journey, they want to take, and just for what reason? They want to relish, they want to eat that pan. Knowing well that it is going to cause them mouth cancer. And how much they have to pay? 1,000 rupees, 2,000, 5,000 rupees. Can you imagine? Of this big the pan, they have to pay, and they are willing to pay that much money. For what reason? To get mouth cancer ultimately. And that is how illusioned by they are by these material desires. And of course, material desires they want, therefore they worship Lord Shiva, get a lot of money. With that money, what they do? They go to such places and eat all nonsense and return what they get. Incurable diseases. What is the use of that? So, it is now in the hands of each person whether he wants to accept devotional service to the Supreme Lord or go to such places and end up in great miseries in later on. So therefore, it is Lord's great desire, I mean Lord Shiva's great desire that one should take up to the devotional service, which he personally is doing, and he also wants us to take up to devotional service, but it is ultimately up to each one's own decision. So I recall in my childhood I used to see my father. My father had a general stores. And he kept many items. And especially the rice, you know, in South India, rice is very much precious for those who live in South India. And he had kept more than half a dozen of rice, varieties of rice, used to keep, and the customer would come and buy. But then he would recommend a particular kind of organic rice. He would recommend, why don't you take this rice? This is very, very nice. It's very, very organically grown, and it is very nice to eat, and also it's not so highly costly. It's not so costly that one could afford to buy that rice. Few people took it. Few people, you know, they took it. But most of the people, they were not ready to buy that rice. They were into some other kinds of rice which are of similar variety. Or some were not capable of enough to buy that rice. Therefore, they landed up taking cheaper qualities of rice. But my father wanted to give them the best rice possible. And some people would, you know, sometimes they would say, what is the guarantee that this rice is good or not? They had so many doubts. So my father used to tell, you bring that entire pot, you have cooked, you bring it that, you give it to me, I'll give you that entire money. No problem. He had so much guarantee, he could give guarantee that because he said, why? Because he said, I personally eat this rice every day. Therefore, I can tell you that why don't you take this rice and, you know, be happy. Similarly, Lord Shiva, he is personally the supreme devotee of the Lord. That means Vaishnavana Methashambhu. Bhagavatam glorifies Lord Shiva that he is the best of the Vaishnava, the best of the worshipper of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, he would naturally want us to also take to devotional service. Is it not? So he would also recommend that. It is up to each individual to take up this decision whether he wants to, you know, take up to devotional service to the Lord or, you know, to take up to some other methods which are ultimately, you know, futile. So therefore, in this story we see that Rukasura, although he is such a demon, later on he was, you know, blessed with liberation. But ultimately by whom? Again Lord Krishna. He first went to Lord Shiva, took his benedictions and he wanted to kill Lord Shiva. And Lord Krishna personally comes, if you see in the future, then he will save him. And then in battle he will be killed by the Lord, and in return what happens? He will be given liberation. He will be given liberation by whom? Not by Brahma or Lord Shiva. And actually Shiva accepts that fact. Mukti pradatam sarvesham Vishnur evana samshaya. Only Vishnu and Vishnu only can give liberation, and not anybody else. So therefore why why don't we go directly to the Supreme Lord and get our not only liberation but ultimate benediction of serving his lotus feet eternally in the spiritual world, and that is the perfection of one's life. So therefore again it is established that demigod worship is for lesser children, and those who are highly intelligent, they will take to the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāy. Yes, bro.
And what ultimately happens to them? How their purification?
Can you repeat the question so that others can hear?
Yeah, as you said, like the demons, those who are killed by Lord Himself, they attain the Brahman realization. That they attain the Brahman, right? Liberation in Brahman. They stay in Brahman as the inert. So how their further purification or further advancement happens?
Of course, they will get association of all these demons, other demons. They get each other's association. Why one should not go for Brahman realization? Even if one attains Brahman realization, then what kind of association you will get there? Kamsa, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Danta, Krishishupal, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu. Because they are there. In the sense that they attain liberation. And people, you know, some people, they want to achieve liberation. And in turn, what they want to do? They want to go to that Brahman. And whom they will see there? All these people. So therefore, it's not at all advisable to achieve or make our goal as Brahman. But that's one step ahead, Paramatma, and the third step, the ultimate step is Bhagavan. So one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is anyway much higher than, you know, Brahman and as well as Paramatma. So like that. So your question is?
Question is that those who stay in Brahman, how ultimately further, what happens to them actually?
Aruhe kuchena padam padam tata. Anadrita Vishmadangraya. Even if they attain liberation, because there is no devotional service, they again fall down to this material world. And because they have worked hard in their last lives by going to Brahman, because it's not an ordinary job, so one has to be really qualified to even achieve Brahman realization. But if one attains, again he has to anyway come back. If once he comes back, again he might get association of devotees. And again he has to take up to devotional service. Same thing what right now we are doing. So, there is no point in going Brahman and again coming back, again following the devotional principles. So therefore, even if one goes to Brahman, then ultimately he has to come back. So it is advisable not to make that as our goal, but rather higher than that is devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Itai Gaur Premanandai.